Dear brethren, we have the wonderful privilege to witness the devotion of Brother Anthony's heart to our Heavenly Father today. We appreciate very much all that is shown in the symbol of baptism, and the ecclesia here has asked Brother David Duran if he would draw our attention to the subject of immersion for Brother Anthony, and of course we have the baptismal afterwards. Lord bless your service, Brother David.
Brother Dan didn't tell me what to say, but he did say make it short. And you notice he lit a fire under me. Anybody tending to feel sorry for Brother Anthony being immersed today, Dan informs me the pool is 92 degrees. Probably most of you do not know Brother Anthony. He's from the Central Kentucky Ecclesia. And a special blessing for an ecclesia of that size to have somebody newly immersed. And we're always pleased to have young blood in the body. Some brethren and I were joking a couple of weeks ago. We're going to have to change this to the chart of the aged. So, Brother Anthony, you don't know it, but certainly within my lifetime, in the truth, there used to be immersions with 20, 25 people. Now one is wonderful. There are a few strange practices of Christianity. It must look strange to the world. One of them has to be baptism. I mean, you take somebody and dunk them under the water and bring them up again. You must see that the world looks at that. It looks strange. The other is a memorial, where somebody passes around a little piece of broken matzah and you have a little glass of grape juice. With great solemnity, once a year. That surely has to look strange. But I think it's interesting that the Lord did not have a lot of ceremony connected with Christianity, but the two things that He chose to make ceremonial are strange because they impress themselves upon us as a result. Baptism is personal in that it's for the person being immersed. The memorial is collective in that it's done by all of those who have been immersed. So, baptism sort of has two parts. One is the burial of the old will. That's going down in the water. So we've come to bury you. And that's much like the faith of Abraham. That's the wonderful thing about Abraham that God appreciated. That Abraham, basically, whether he said it in words or in actions, Abraham's life from a certain point was, I don't have a will. It's buried. Whatever God wants, that's what I'm going to do. So that's the wonderful primary symbol there of burying the old will in water. And the other part is rising of a new will out of the water, dedicated to doing God's will. That's the real short of it, and that's what Brother Anthony has decided to do. And it is a rational response to somebody who's been called and enlightened. A very rational response. Okay, but baptism also is a symbol of the sacrifice of the humanity that we would have had. Had we not decided to accept the Lord's invitation now to become part of the body of Christ, we would have lived through the millennium and obtained life. And understanding that, we say, I can give that up. Because that would be perfect at that point. It can be sacrificed as a perfect offering, a perfect sacrifice. So what Brother Anthony has done in consecration is offered a perfect sacrifice, that which he would have had at the end of the millennium. And God simply looks at it in advance and says, fine, I'll take that. I don't have to wait till the end of the millennium. And it is therefore the beginning of a spirit nature that Brother Anthony and the rest of us will have, because God said, I will not just take your life and leave you there in the dark. I will begin a new life in you, which we call a new creature. Now you realize God didn't have to do that. With Jesus, when Jesus offered his humanity, God could have figured out some other way for a restitution of all things. He could have just left Jesus dead in the tomb. But the grace of God is so immense that while he takes your life in sacrifice, he immediately says, let me start a new one that has not been sacrificed and that will grow and become something wonderful. This is what we call the sin offering. Offering ourselves with the hope of doing away with sin ultimately. Could there be a grander calling in all the universe? I mean, if anybody in the whole wide world who is a really thoughtful person were asked what he would like to do, given a little thought, hopefully his answer would be, I'd like to do with this, do away with this sin and have everybody alive and happy. And God has made that arrangement so that we can actually have part in doing that. We are an offering for sin. And of course God says, yes, I'm going to accept that, but you're not going to be much help to me if you're still a human being. So we're going to get rid of your humanity. Consequently, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has several functions for us. Three primary ones. Number one, it begets this new creature within us. And right now, the new creature is a state of mind. It is a hope, but it is legal. God considers it actual. Something that will be born by the time our old flesh has passed away. So the second function of the Holy Spirit is a force in our minds and surroundings to develop that new creature. Peter points out in Acts, by quoting the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then Joel does a little qualifying, showing that it's poured out on one group first and another group later. So the pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh starts at Pentecost, and we are still benefiting from that. And when it has been given to his servants in a very different way from the way it will be given to all flesh, then it will turn and be given to the whole rest of the world. So Pentecost was a beginning. In this case, the Holy Spirit to develop a new mind. The third function of the Holy Spirit is a result. I've got a four-part result here. Rest, enlightenment, appreciation, and application. And I think as you see the Holy Spirit working in you, Brother Anthony, the first thing it does is what Paul points out in Hebrews, we enter into God's rest. And because we're not doing our will and we're doing His, we just can't get all agitated because we are resting in what Jesus is doing. fully convinced, like God is fully convinced, that Jesus is going to accomplish it. So we rest. We don't struggle. We don't labor for things that we think we have to do ourselves. The second result of the Holy Spirit in us is enlightenment. Very important. Knowledge is not everything. It is strictly a means. But without it, nothing happens. So the Holy Spirit gives this enlightenment. The third part then is appreciation, where the enlightenment enters us and begins to change us. There are two Greek words for knowledge. One of them is knowledge. It means information. Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. It's the word we get our word know from. That's why know starts with a K. The other is epignosis. And that's the real knowledge to seek for in Scripture. Because that's when knowledge takes a hold of you and starts changing you. It's like food. You know, while it's in your mouth, not doing you a whole lot of good. When you swallow it and your whole metabolism starts to take advantage of the nutrients, then your body grows. So food's fine, but until it's digested, it really doesn't have any function. The same with knowledge. It's fine, but until it becomes appreciation or part of our being, it doesn't have much function. And the fourth result of the Holy Spirit is zealous application. Because once we have this thing becoming part of our beings, it has to come out. In a moment or two, I'm going to ask Brother Anthony three questions. Very commonly the way we end a baptismal service. But I want to go over them first. The first question is always something like, do you realize that you were born dying and there wasn't any way for you to get out of it? Good reason for that question, because if the answer isn't yes, then you don't need a Savior. So the question is, secondly, do you accept the fact that Jesus is the way out of the problem, the only escape, and thus our attraction to Him? And that's important because right now in the gospel age, it is the only way to make a successful consecration is to accept that Jesus is the only way out of the problem. And the third question is about commitment. Have you made a full, unreserved consecration to do the Lord's will as you discern it to the best of your ability for the rest of your life? That's kind of the reasonable result of the other questions. I mean, if somebody comes along and you were locked up in prison for a double life sentence, and that's the only thing you had to look forward to, and he came in and said, got a way to get you out of here tonight. What's your innermost responsibility toward that person? I mean, that person has just saved the whole rest of your life. You really feel a responsibility and a commitment. Now, I just don't mean, pardon the expression, duty love. But a real, honest-to-goodness, internal realization that I owe this man something. And it is based on a call. It's not like anybody can just do this. God has made restrictions because He's making a very personal family for Himself. So He just didn't open the door wide at the beginning of the gospel age and say, come one, come all. He invited people first up onto that plane of righteousness, consecration to righteousness, because you love right. And from there, He calls you to the high calling. So, that's what I'm going to ask you in a moment, Brother Anthony. But, henceforth, you have the privilege that almost nobody else on the face of the earth has. You can call God Father. That's going to give you some trouble. If you ever have to pray publicly where there are people around that are not consecrated, at least I have this problem, how do I open the prayer? I can't say Our Father because most of the people in the room aren't His children. And I'm saying this for one reason. I want us to value that relationship. He has decided to make you part of His family. And you can call Him Father. And the Apostle Paul goes further and says you can call Him Abba, which is the Jewish child's term of endearment. It's like Daddy. No. There's another problem. I accept what Paul says, but I also have this awe about God, and I think we must have that. We must retain the formal. We must retain the awe that He inspires, and at the same time, accepting and cherishing the fact that He says, just call me Daddy. And that dichotomy of being an intimate part of His family was still keeping Him on that unattainable, untouchable high is a struggle, but a welcome one. If all creature, all new creature from here on, this is going to include mandatory obligations to those things honorable in this world. And I'm saying this because there again you have this strange struggle. I'm saying it's all new creature from here on. But it isn't. We are responsible for doing those things which are honorable in the sight of all men. Responsible for your family. Responsible for your neighbors. Responsible for your job. But that is part of being a good new creature. And that balance is something you will enjoy struggling with. Brother Anthony's family is here. I told him I probably couldn't resist this, and I can't. You know, his last name's Coffee. So we have a large, medium, and four small coffees here. Finally, Brother Anthony, you've got an immense family here, and I mean it, and they mean it. These people. Will die for you. When Jesus gave us that model prayer, I think it was hardly by accident that He used the plural throughout it. Because you are a part of a brotherhood or a body now, and you may not have thought of it before, but it's Our Father. Give us this day. Forgive us as we forgive. It is plural throughout because you can't do it alone. And God didn't intend you to do it alone. Not only that God's going to be with you, but you are part of something much larger. So, Brother Anthony, we welcome you with this symbolic act today. This is one reason for baptism. It's for us, because baptism is public. The other is for self. It's an event which cannot pass from memory like words can, because it's so strange and so unreasonable from a human standpoint. When Brother Dan buries you and brings you back up again, how illogical, but how wonderfully meaningful. You you could translate the Holy Spirit, the Holy Wind, but I don't think that's what we've been dealing with today. I'll give you this little booklet in a moment. Peter says that we are made partakers of the divine nature by promises. These will build your new creature. But I'm going to read one here for you today from 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Please stand. I guess I'll be here for this first couple sentences. Brother Anthony, you do know that you were born dying and there's no way for you to eke out of it. You do accept the fact that Jesus has indeed provided a way out of it. And you have made a full, complete, unreserved dedication of yourself to do the will of God to the best of your ability as far as you are able to discern it for the rest of your life. These brethren welcome you with the right hand of fellowship.
Dear brethren, we'll let Brother Anthony and Brother Dan proceed to prepare for the immersion. And dear friends, while they're doing this, we'd like to sing hymn number 8. Hymn number 8. And then we will proceed to the pool. Friends, we'd like to invite everyone now to proceed to the pool We will consider the service continuing and have the prayer at the very end after the immersion, just to explain. But Brendan, the pool is on the north side of the house. We'll just gather around there. We remind you all to bring your hymn books and to share your hymn books too, if you see anyone that doesn't have one. But please, let's all arise now and make our way to the pool. Dear friends, we'd like to invite you all to join singing hymn 191, while we wait for the candidates.
In the name of Jehovah, our Father, we come to this Christ, Holy Spirit, begin to speak. By this authority, I baptize thee in Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed is your holy name. Our Father, we thank Thee for allowing us to gather and witness the symbolization of our brother Anthony into the fellowship that is the highest sacrifice that any human would want to give, but give his life to you. Holy Father, we pray to Thee that You guide and direct Brother Anthony